Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is an attorney. He is a partner with Mauch & Baker in Chicago. His name is Noel Sterrett, and we're going to talk about a case in Raleigh, North Carolina, involving a crisis pregnancy center, and frankly, they're being denied justice in this particular instance. Noel, welcome to the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be on.
Okay, so tell us the story about Hand of Hope in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Well, let's start in the beginning. This started when a small group was going through a Bible study and was trying to identify ways that they could serve their community. So a group of women got together and said, you know who we could really serve is the pregnant women in our community. And so one idea and one response to try to serve the community led to the founding by Tanya Baker Nelson of Hand of Hope Pregnancy Resource Center. And the goal was to serve pregnant women who often find themselves alone, afraid, without support, without information about their pregnancy, to just make that information available, make the support available, and try to reach them with the message of the gospel and whatever they could do to help them. And so ultimately that ministry has grown, and they were delivered a wonderful opportunity last year when the property right next to one of the Raleigh abortion clinics was put up for sale. And so they went and bought it, and they were told that they should probably get a rezoning like the other parcels that were right around them. And they went through the rezoning process, and they got approval from every city staff and the planning commission, and even the Citizens Advisory Council voted in favor. But July 5th, 2016, the city council disregarded all of that and voted to deny them the ability to use their property to reach the very same women that are going in and out of the abortion clinic on a daily basis.
On what basis did they deny this claim?
Well, the question is, well, what is the truth? Because the planning commission and the city staff had all basically said, this is our plan. Our comprehensive plan says this is how we want to rezone it. Our future land use map that Raleigh has says this is how we want to rezone it. We have found nothing wrong with this use. The city council was put in a position where they had to come up with something, and I think they were ultimately hiding their political play, because what they said is that it's premature to rezone it, that they don't want to just rezone this one parcel. They want to wait until the other three houses on the block are lumped together or seek rezoning, which, as we all know, is ridiculous, because, I mean, we're not going to wait until somebody decides to sell their house or the neighbor decides that he wants to seek a rezoning too. And so ultimately they gave that reason, but I don't think it's very believable.
How profitable or how busy is the abortion clinic that's right next to the prospective place for Hand for Hope?
Well, I think it's difficult to determine just how busy they are, because I think it's kept fairly quiet in terms of the numbers. But we think it's a fairly busy clinic, and we know from another crisis pregnancy center that when they located next to another abortion clinic in Raleigh, they saw the number of women coming into their crisis pregnancy center increase by, I think, at least 25%.
Wow.
And that just shows you a lot of these women go into these clinics not knowing what to expect, not really even knowing what to ask, and certainly not knowing what information they're going to be provided or not provided, to be more explicit. And I think that's why Hand of Hope said, this is a great opportunity. We can serve more women. We can make sure these women are fully informed, that they get all the support that they deserve. And ultimately, we think we can save more children.
Somebody once said that if you see in the phone book the yellow, well, I guess they don't have yellow pages anymore, but if there were yellow pages, or if you see it on the website or something like that, and you're trying to figure out, well, which of this service, this abortion-related service, is there as a crisis pregnancy center to help the women in need, or which is there as essentially an abortion clinic, I guess they would argue, to supposedly help women in need. But how do you know the difference? And the key is, which one has the logo of the credit cards? So, you know, to some degree, I mean, let's face it, a lot of this boils down to money.
Yeah, it does. And that's been long been the Planned Parenthood scheme, which is to protect the industry. The numbers, you know, it once was said that they wanted it to be safe, legal, and rare. Well, that's just certainly not the case. You know, there's nothing good about having an industry that's based on a rare procedure. They're trying to ultimately lead women to have abortions and don't provide the full information that the crisis pregnancy centers do. You know, these women aren't able to see the ultrasounds and see the beating heart and the baby within their womb, and that's why these it's so important for the free speech rights and the rights of these pregnancy centers to be able to get their message out. These women need to know. They have a right to be fully informed, and the right of choice that the courts have recognized is certainly binary. In other words, if women have a right to choose abortion, they should also have the right to choose life.
Yeah.
And we've had one federal court recognize that a woman does have a right to choose life, and so we're also asserting that in this case, that on behalf of the women, we are defending their right to choose life.
Okay, now you work for a firm in Chicago, a law firm, Mauck & Baker, M-A-U-C-K. In fact, the website is mauckbaker.com, so anybody who wants more information can look that up. And again, Mauck is spelled M-A-U-C-K. How did you, Noel Sterrett, a partner with Mauck & Baker, get involved since you're in Chicago and they're in Raleigh? And I don't see the link there. It's interesting.
Yeah, well, one of the things that we do is we work to keep the door open for the gospel and the pro-life message, religious liberty, and other civil liberties across the country. So most of what we think of as Americans in terms of threats to religious liberty, we tend to think it's on the federal level. But in my experience, the greatest threat to religious liberty is on the local level. Hmm. We're seeing over and over again that municipalities and regulations in terms of land use and zoning.
Yeah.
Is really crushing people. It's crushing new churches. It's crushing ability to extend ministries, homeless centers, pregnancy centers. And so right now what we're seeing, and that's really the focus of our firm's work, is taking up these municipalities that are suppressing the ability for the people of God to either have a church, a homeless shelter, crisis pregnancy centers. So we've been taking these cases around the country. We're also affiliated with Alliance Defending Freedom.
Oh, yes.
We work very closely with them. And so hand in hand with them, when we find cases where municipalities are pushing and suppressing civil liberties, we try to get involved and be at a church that's denied zoning, a crisis pregnancy center. That's where we're going to fight. We're able to take these cases in federal court because the federal law is uniform. And we're able to take these cases with the help of Alliance Defending Freedom. And so anywhere where we find a problem in the United States where municipalities are overstretching their authority, their constitutional authority, that's when we try to get involved and help.
Hmm. Good. Have you dealt with other cases yourself involving crisis pregnancy centers being denied the right to be able to, open up shop somewhere?
Yeah, so frankly, we had a very interesting case. The judge that found that there was a constitutional right for women to choose life, that arose out of a case in Elgin, Illinois, where the municipality sought to shut down, using their zoning code, a mobile crisis pregnancy unit that had an ultrasound unit on it. And what they did is they came up with, because it's a mobile unit, they said they classified it as a temporary land use. And so they said, well, because it's temporarily using land within our jurisdiction, we're going to be able to regulate it. And so they came up with a permitting scheme and were charging them $180 every time they got a permit renewal and telling them how many days a week that they could do it and where they could do it. And so, again, what we're seeing more and more is the effort to, suppress religious liberty and crisis pregnancy centers is really coming at the local level. It's municipalities that are trying to use their zoning powers, which the courts have typically been very deferential to suppress civil liberties.
They didn't have sonograms in 1973 that I know of, and if they did, it was certainly nothing like today. And the Supreme Court, shame on them for making that terrible decision of Roe v. Wade, but shame on us, all these 43 years later, we have more and more information about the humanity of the unborn. And sonograms, I trust that a sonogram machine would be a part of the plans for this Hand of Hope in Raleigh, correct?
Yeah, so that is integral to our message. What we are trying to do is communicate the life and the humanity of the unborn. And it is, really, as you say, there's no excuse. We can see it. I mean, you go to people's, relatives' kitchen, and you'll see a picture, an ultrasound picture. Well, who's that? You can ask them. be they pro-choice or pro-life, they're going to give that child a name. They're going to say, oh, that's my sister's baby. So we all know now. It's well beyond the 1970s. We no longer live in ignorance. The science, the video, the ultrasounds all confirm, and Hand of Hope, that's critical to how they reach women, is saying, here, let me communicate to you by putting this ultrasound scope on you, and you'll see. You will see and you will hear from your own child. And there's no greater message and no more convincing message to pregnant women of the life that they have within them than the ultrasound.
It's like the line from the movie Juno. I've never seen it, but your baby has fingernails. Apparently that one line actually prevented a fictional character in this movie from aborting her child. Now,
yes.
Crisis pregnancy centers in general are in some ways under attack in America. There was some problems in New York State a few years ago, but now in California there's some problems.
Yes.
Do you find this trend?
Yeah, and in fact in Illinois as well. So I also have a lawsuit that we filed against the state of Illinois. Because what states are doing, what the pro-abortion group are doing, because again they're trying to protect an industry, is they're trying to compel crisis pregnancy centers not to perform abortion, because they know that that's a bridge too far, but to basically facilitate and become a referral source for Planned Parenthoods and the abortion clinics. So states are starting to pass laws, like Illinois just did, that said if you're not going to participate in abortion, you must tell the women where they can find abortion clinics. And in Illinois, they've even gone so far as to say, well, you also must advise the women of the benefits of abortion. Now, this is exactly where
heartache,
they want us to go.
Heart attack, potentially suicide, a 10% chance of not being able to ever have a baby again. I'm sorry, but go on.
No, exactly. And from our vantage point, that is not, there are no benefits, but the state perhaps may take a position as to what the benefits are. And this is compelled speech. It's anathema to why these pregnancy centers exist. I mean, it's what we're really asking these pregnancy centers to do is, can you tell me where I can go and have someone take the life of my child? And we should never be in a place in America where we're requiring people to do this.
Has the Supreme Court ever made a decision related to crisis pregnancy centers specifically, or something like them?
No, I imagine that if the states tend to differ on these laws, and depending on what the Ninth Circuit does in California, and the Seventh Circuit, if it ever gets one of these cases, if there becomes a circuit split, the Supreme Court is going to be asked to say, well, what's the line? We're also seeing it in the gay wedding, same-sex marriage wedding cases, where more and more the government's not okay with you just exerting your right to abstain from something. You actually have to be compelled to say something, or celebrate something, or to refer out for abortion. And so more and more, it's not sufficient just to assert your right to not be involved in something. You also have to defend your right not to have to participate or encourage something.
Wow, that is not hopeful, or that's not good. You mentioned earlier, for example, that the slogan used to be about abortion clinics, or about abortion, let's make it safe, legal, and rare. And the Supreme Court decision in June of 2016 related to a Texas law, in effect, said that we don't care if abortion is not safe in America. So that's really fascinating. It's almost like the only one that really stands in those three statements is legal. Let's make sure abortion's always legal regardless.
Yeah, and I think, and they're also, what the Supreme Court seemed to indicate was that it's prevalent. And that's even the opposite of, rare, because what we're talking about is a Supreme Court that disregarded its prior precedent, and the dissenting voices on the court made that clear. They said, look, this is what we said before, and you guys did what you wanted to do. And so, yeah, we're seeing it over and over again. There's a disregard for science. There's a disregard for what the ultrasound reveals is true. And ultimately, we're dealing with an entire segment of our community in America that is being denied any dignity, the humanity that they are. And, I mean, that's true. That was true of America during the time of slavery. And now it's the unborn. And so we'll continue to fight, and I don't want to be discouraging in,
sure,
in what's going on, but there's lawyers in this country that are ready to fight. But really, we need everybody to stand up. We need everybody to support the works of these pregnancy centers, the works of these legal groups, because the battle's real, and the other side is well-funded and willing to go to great lengths in order to protect what they believe are their quote-unquote rights and their industries. And there's truth to be brought, and you know, we need to continue to bear witness to that and continue to fight, because so often we lose these battles because we don't fight. We don't show up for them. So often one of the saddest things is when I find out that a church that has been denied zoning unconstitutionally or in violation of federal law just decides to shutter itself and or to close and or move somewhere else. And, you know, we've got great, we have a strong constitution. We have great federal laws. Some, you know, the religious land use law is a wonderful act. But unfortunately, a lot of different ministries perish because they just don't know where to go, and they just kind of assume that this is, you know, their lot in life. Is
sure.
take the denial.
Well, we're basically out of time. Thank you so much for being with us, Noel Sterrett. MaucBaker.com for more information, including all the details on this case, Hand of Hope. MaucBaker.com. Thanks so much. God bless you.